persist for 4 centuries. There's nothing so terrible that it doesn't get forgotten in a few generations. Kina had to be responsible somehow. She'd been manipulating these people for an age, sending out her dreams. 4 centuries was plenty of time to create an enduring hysteria. In fact, if you assumed the great black goddess was behind that, you could explain a lot that never made sense before. It even explained why there were so many crazed people involved, great and small. Might it be that Kina's departure from the play would cause an outbreak of sanity at all levels? But how do you get rid of a god? Is there any religion where they teach you that? How to get your god off your back if he gets too damned obnoxious? No. All you ever get is advice on how to bribe them to leave you alone for a few minutes. Chapter 40. Once again, one I threatened to prove useless. "You got me by the balls," was his response when I asked him how I could deal with my dreams. "God damn it, Croker said you'd have the answer. But if you're going to be that way, screw you, stick it in your ear." "Hey, kid, take it easy." "What way?" "Purposely, stupid." "You're too young to be so cynical, kid. Where'd you get the idea I couldn't straighten out something as simple as a dream radar?" "I got it from something this lazy-ass little old man told me about 20 seconds ago." "Did not!" He stomped around. "Shit! You're sure the old man told you come to me about this?" "I'm sure. And you told me everything. Didn't leave some little detail out you're too proud to mention that's going to get me bit on the ass if I do something?" "I told you everything." It had been hard, but I had. "I got to get out of this. I'm losing it." He showed me his best glower. "You're sure the old man sent you to me? You weren't just hearing voices." "I'm sure." I stared at that stupid hat of his, wondering if I could get it to hold still long enough for me to put it out of its misery. Nobody likes a smart-ass kid. Even you have friends, One-Eye. He pranced around some. "I don't want to do this. I don't think Croker knows what he's doing. Why should I?" I didn't realize that he was talking to himself, not me. "On account of I'm a brother and I need help." "All right. Don't tell me you didn't ask for this. Come on up to the wagon." A shiver of anticipation overcame me. It was so strong both One-Eye and Tai-Day noticed. One-Eye muttered to himself. As he started to turn, he told Tai-Day, "You, come along too." The why of that proved to be Mother Gota. "She turned up, huh?" I observed. I probably didn't sound thrilled. The fact was I wasn't thrilled. Having Mother Gota around generally made me wish I had boils on my butt instead. Found her sitting beside the road, looking downright forlorn as we started down the south slope of the pass. I knew it was a waste of time, but I asked anyway. "Where have you been? Where's Uncle Doge?" Did I say something out loud? Apparently not. She didn't respond. She began carping at Tai-Day about how he was keeping himself. Maybe his hair was too long or his beard not plucked. What was insignificant, there was always something to complain about and something to criticize. One-Eye said, "While they're getting caught up, I want you to climb in the wagon and go for a stroll with the goat."